coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Oh, yes, as always. So good to have you back again. This time, we want to talk about Global Humanitarian Technology Conference, the IEEE Conference. Keith Moore, who is chairman of that conference, is going to be with us here in just a little bit, and he's going to bring us up to date. Lots of exciting things that are happening with it. He's been developing this conference now for the past 3 years or so, and it is really getting quite a reputation. And later on in the program, in the second half hour, Bill Wattenberg from Lawrence Livermore Labs is stopping by, and he's going to tell us how much he respects the conference, because he said a lot of humanitarian conferences just give lip service. They don't really do a good job, but this one is significant. So we're going to visit the Den of Strangers on the program, visit our Fountain of Useless Information for the first half of the second part of the program, and of course at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And I want to remind you, those of you listening on radio can hear us commercial free online at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Also a special treat today. We have fresh from Washington, D.C., the House Republican Caucus Band playing Stall, the Stars and Stripes Forever. You're not going to want to miss that. That's in the second half of the program. All right, let's get to today's guest.
Stand by.
This is Keith.
Hey, Keith, it's Colonel Mason. Hello.
Hey, Colonel, how are you?
Good. Is this a good time to talk?
It's a great time.
All right, that's good. We're so glad that you joined us on the program. Keith Moore, chairman of the Global Humanitarian Technology Conference for 2013. You've been with the conference right from the beginning, I think, haven't you, Keith?
Yeah, sure have. I served as the program chair the first year, served as the vice chair last year, and this year I'm the chair.
And it's been held in Seattle until this year. You moved it to San Jose, the San Jose Airport Garden Hotel. Now, why was the decision to do that?
Well, they've decided that the IEEE leadership, who is the entity who sponsors our conference, our main idea folks behind the conference, mm-hmm. decided it'd be good to move the conference around. So we took bids from several places, from up in Canada, from out in Hawaii, from Silicon Valley, and other areas, Boston to be included, and this is the one that they chose at the time. The thought is that there's a good synergy in the Silicon Valley already for humanitarian technology type efforts and issues, and there's a good synergy to be had there. So I think we are going to find that.
Well, I want to expand on that in just a minute, but right now you mentioned about moving it around. There was some talk of Montreal. Sometime you may consider moving it out of the country? I mean, there was even some talk, I think, at one time of India. Is it always going to be in the U.S., or do you think you'll move it around the world?
Well, there is discussion of that right now, but we do have a satellite conference that is scheduled for this year. Right now, our scheme, if you will, of having the conferences is to keep it in North America for right now for the mm-hmm. main conference,
yeah.
and have satellite conferences. We're in discussions right now with IEEE's Region 8, which is Europe and Africa, for a satellite conference possibly next year. But this year, there is a conference planned. It's called the South Asian Satellite Conference, the IEEE GHTC SAS Conference mm-hmm. in Kerala, India, from 23 to 24 August. And you can find more information about that one at ghtc-sas.org.
Well, isn't it kind of complicated trying to put on any conference anyway? I mean, really, it's such a chore to put on these conferences, and then at the same time to be planning a satellite conference? How are you pulling that off?
Well, thankfully, we have lots of good volunteers. The folks over in India, especially, but all over in Asia there, we've got a lot of folks who are just on fire. They're just anxious to build the future, and they've attended the last couple of years here in Seattle in the United States, and they are anxious to do their own part and to build their own conference there. So they're doing the large majority of the planning there. They have got it planned. The intent is for the satellite conferences to do a full-fledged conference, a full-fledged IEEE conference with paper submissions and contests and all the things you see normally see at conferences.
Wow.
And then feed some of the best papers and some of the best presentations back to the main conference here in the States.
Oh yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a little method in your madness there. You talk about the good volunteers. Well, I have to admit, you really do have them. I've dealt with a number of volunteer organizations over the years, and find out many times it's like herding cats. You know, everybody wants to go in a different direction, and nobody seems to be coordinated. But I'm pretty impressed with your staff. They really have themselves together. And what's interesting is there doesn't seem to be any prima donnas. The different members of your staff are quite willing to go ahead and let the person who's leading a certain segment of it take charge and go, and they're quite eager to offer their assistance and then compliment the things that are going well and offer suggestions for things that they think there can be improvements. I don't know that you can have a better staff.
Yeah, I agree. That's the beauty of having a humanitarian conference, is most of them are very volunteer oriented already, and they're very willing to help out and not looking for that spotlight. They're wanting to help out and work down in the trenches and get their sleeves rolled up and do the work that needs to be done to help folks out.
Yeah, it's been fun over the past several years talking to the different people that have been involved with the humanitarian conference, because I think you're quite right. There's a lot of conferences, I guess, where that does attract the prima donnas, and maybe a humanitarian conference will attract the people that are more interested in doing the larger good than getting the personal gain. Well, now you're at the San Jose Airport Garden Hotel. Now, why did you choose that particular hotel for this conference?
Well, we had some feedback from the last couple of years. Everybody loved the conference in the last couple of years, but some of the things that we got feedback on was it'd be nice to have one very near to an airport, of course. There's the San Jose Airport there. San Francisco International Airport's nearby also, so it has very ready access. They also had some comments about having a relaxed atmosphere, so we chose this venue because of its relaxed atmosphere, and I think it'll do very well.
Now, wait a minute. Hotels have relaxed atmospheres because they're hotels. Now, how does this hotel have any more kind of a relaxed atmosphere than the other hotels you've ever been at?
So a lot of the hotels that a lot of conferences are held at are, you know, multi-story, you have to go from floor to floor to find which talk you're supposed to be involved in, and this one is all on one story. It's spread out across several acres. It has very extensive garden grounds that are available for people to walk around and talk. The weather there should be very nice that time of year. I think it's going to provide additional ease with which our participants can get together and talk about their projects and talk about things. And that's always been one of the big things that we wanted to do with this conference, is not just have a one-way conversation where we spill information out to everyone, but to get the folks that are working these projects together and give them that opportunity to talk to each other and to learn from each other and to help each other on the various humanitarian technology projects they're working.
I'm so glad you pointed that out. That's really fascinating, because you're right. The conferences that I've attended in hotels, even in convention centers, they're so wide and so spread apart, and it's so hard for people to network. But you're talking about the San Jose Airport Garden Hotel, because it's on one floor, you say, and it's one story, and then it's got these gardens all over the place, leaving it easy for people to network. It ought to be a really stimulating conference. I can kind of get the picture.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Now some of the highlights of the conference this year. You announce those things yet, or are you saving those for later on?
Well, I'm sure there are several more to come, but I do have a whole list that I prepared just for that question.
All right.
Of course, we've got the sponsors that have been with us since the beginning, NASA and UNESCO and IEEE, of course. We're also the Engineers Without Borders and Engineering for Change are also involved as sponsors for the conference. We're also working with USAID this year to try to get them involved, and Google. They're just up the road from where the conference is going to be held this year. So we're working with them to try to get them involved in the conference as well, and I think we've got some promising inroads there. One of the big things we're working right now are some of the contests that we've got planned for the conference this year. We've had contests in the past years. We've had the normal ones that we always have, the student papers contest, the student poster contest, the photo contest, the video contest. All these are humanitarian oriented. But this year we've got a couple new ones that we're really excited about. One is called the Young Professionals Contest, mm-hmm. or the Young Professionals Project Competition. And the project problem is to develop a rural district health office with data connectivity and e-health record system.
Okay.
And they're taking team members from all over the planet that call, email us in or contact us and say, hey, I want to be in this project. And we're forming teams from all sorts of places and forming them into teams, and then they'll work on this to develop this rural district health office. So we're really excited about that. Mr. Don McPhail is working that one. Another one that we're really excited about that's still in formation stages is a hackathon. Mr. Mike North of the Discovery Channel Prototype This fame is working this one. He's putting together a hackathon with a tech shop there in the Silicon Valley area, and we're trying to get maker.org involved as well to support this. But what we've got is there's a couple other conferences there in the same area that are the very month before. One of them is SOCAP, the Social Capital Conference, where they have all sorts of benefactors that come together and say, how are we going to build businesses and invest in businesses that have a positive social outcome? And they come up with all sorts of good business ideas. But they don't have the technical know-how to implement in many cases. They don't have. They need this cooperation with our conference, the Humanitarian Technology Conference, to help develop that. So what we're planning to do is do a full hackathon for the entire event, where we take the outcome of SOCAP and their best ideas for businesses, and we develop the technical end, the technical solution for that.
You're calling this a hackathon, like H-A-C-K. How are you spelling this?
Yeah, a hackathon. H-A-C-K-A-T-H-O-N.
Now, what is a hackathon? You got me. Now, I bet everybody listening to the program probably knows exactly what you're talking about, but me. But you got me there going. How do you call it a hackathon?
A hackathon it branches out from the old school hackers, where hacker doesn't mean somebody that breaks into a system.
Sure.
And tears it
okay,
up.
Okay.
It means somebody that makes something and builds something and
all
makes
right.
it work.
Okay.
You tear things apart so you can build and make it better. You know, the old tendency of don't break it unless it's fixed. Don't fix it when it's not broke. That doesn't really apply, because the best thing to do is to take things down and make them even better. So the hackathon is like a hacking marathon, where you've got this long-term, 3 or 4 days over the conference, where they just work around the clock to tear apart the technical solutions and build a better solution for whatever business or solution it is they're looking for.
Oh, you're so terribly clever. You guys, so terribly clever. Why didn't I think about that? A hackathon, of course, it makes so much sense now that you explained it. And so there, you say there's a lot of commercial organizations that want to be known for their humanitarian aspect, and this is a way that this conference is going to help those organizations do that. Was that what you were saying? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. We'd love to be able to help them do that. They've got a number of organizations that come to them at SOCAP. That's the conference. It's held the 2nd to the 5th of September in San Francisco, California, out at Fort Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a number of benefactors that come, and organizations that come with endowments and all sorts of things, and say, we're looking for a place to invest our money so that it will have a positive impact on society, and not just looking for the bottom dollar as the prime goal. So they look for these things, and many times they come up with these solutions or these business cases, but they need the technical solution to go with it. So that's where we're trying to join the two conferences in a partnership of sorts, so that we can provide that, and this hackathon is a step in that direction.
That's pretty sensational. I understand there's some talk too with companies such as Samsung that want to do things in the humanitarian field, and want it to be known that they're doing things. And this, if they were to come forth as a sponsor, and I don't understand they're not quite there yet, but if they were, then this would be a great opportunity to get the publicity for being a part of the humanitarian effort, and that can go with all these other companies that you're talking about too, as a matter of fact. So I hope you'll introduce them to us so we can talk about it here on the program, because we want to give as much publicity as we can to commercial organizations that are extending themselves around the world in humanitarian efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. Samsung is definitely on our list, and we've been talking with them, and we're hopeful that we can develop that relationship even more. And we're not too proud to beg. We are a non-for-profit organization, IEEE is, and we want to make this thing sustainable, but we need assistance to do that. We need sponsors. The sponsors that we have been great, but as this thing grows, we will continue to need more and more sponsorship, and it's a great outlet for advertisement for those companies that are involved.
Yeah, that's right. That's the benefit. One of the big benefits that a company that comes with your organization gets is the press coverage and the very high visibility that goes with it. 400,000 IEEE members worldwide, and then the press coverage from the individual conferences. Now, we've been talking about the call for paper. You've got a call for papers out. We've talked about that before in this program, and even sent it out to our list of subscribers and things. But there's a lot of things you're looking for solutions. Power infrastructure, off the grid to power renewables and sustainable energy. That's one of them, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. The meat and potatoes of IEEE conferences is those research papers, those peer-reviewed research papers where engineers come together and look at each other's work and say, yeah, this is a good solution, and they present and share that with others who are working on similar projects. And that's what we're discussing here, is those research papers that are part of the conference. And they are, for our conference, you know, the general IEEE conference, generally most IEEE conferences focus on a specific technical area, may say power or communications or hard disk storage or whatever it may be, some mm-hmm. technology.
Yeah.
IEEE GHTC, Humanitarian Conference, focuses on all these technologies as they're applied to humanitarian solutions. So we have several tracks that cover these various paper presentations, and they range from power to communications to health solutions to water solutions. There we have several tracks.
Yeah, I noticed. It really is pretty comprehensive. We talked about the power infrastructure. But yeah, health, medical technology, and telemedicine. What are we talking about here with telemedicine?
Telemedicine, that's basically allowing doctors and healthcare givers at remote locations access information, knowledge, and expertise from those who are not nearby.
Mm-hmm.
In the field, doctor who needs a specialist to look at some X-rays or look at pictures of a patient they've taken in the field, they can do that remotely over the telecommunication systems and sometimes save lives.
And the other thing, disaster warning of avoidance. And response. Now, disaster warning, avoidance, and response has been a bugaboo for humanity, I think, down through the millennia. And what are some of the solutions that are going to be presented at this particular conference in that regard?
Well, I can't tell you the ones that are going to be presented this year because we haven't done our peer review process yet. But I can mm-hmm. tell you some of the ones that were presented in the last 2 years. We had one that was a landslide avoidance and warning system, which placed sensors in I believe it was the Philippines, if I remember correctly, because they're prone to many landslides there because of the torrential rainfalls they get. And there'll be, you know, a community of hundreds of people living at the bottom of a mountainside or a bottom of a hillside, and just one day after you know, weeks worth of rain, there'll be a mudslide and it'll wipe out half the village. So they've went and they've They've developed this early warning system that places sensors within, low-cost sensors within the hillside at various locations interspersed, and detects early movement and gives them usually anywhere from 24 to 48 hours warning before it ever happens.
Wow, and then water planning, availability, and quality. We've covered that before when we've covered your conferences, and people have been working on that for a number of years, wells in different areas and different ways of retrieving water, some of it pretty fascinating. And sanitation, I notice, is a big deal for you all this year, too. And I've got to get into that a little bit, because that's a major problem in most parts of the world. For instance, in Haiti, we understand that after the hurricane and the relief workers went to Haiti to try to help out, that a lot of the relief workers were the ones who were the problems and actually brought cholera to some of the Haitians. So sanitation is a big thing for you all this year. What are some of the things going on there?
Once again, I can't let the cat out of the bag yet, because I don't know what the cat looks like that's going in the bag yet. Mm-hmm. But we are certainly pursuing that. Sanitation is a big concern in all humanitarian fields, whether it's in a big city or out in the far reaches of far away, where there's very little human population. In all those places, sanitation is highly needed. Sanitation actually accounts for a large majority of the deaths out in the field and in various places throughout the world, because of unclean living conditions. And anything that we can do, new technology solutions that we can develop or present or present research on that helps alleviate that problem, that's what we're looking for.
Well, the other thing that really interests me, I see the educational technologies, and I wonder if, because you've got an emphasis on that this year, and I wonder if that's because of the recent problems that certain areas of the world have with trying to educate women. When a 14-year-old schoolgirl was shot in Pakistan because she wanted to have schools for the girls, and we find it all the time right now in Afghanistan. As we're pulling out, there's more educational problems. What are some of the educational technologies that you're hoping to attract to this year's conference?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We've got a lady by the name of Erna Gross, who is with Asante Africa. She's been participating the last few years in our conference, and she is putting together a tutorial or a presentation this year that's looking to bring some of those educators, especially for women in some of the areas, to the conference, and provide a first-person experiential. This is what works in the field. This is what you need to do to have a successful program to teach, to bring your folks and those in the needy areas up above the poverty. This is what you need to do to affect change. These are the things that need to happen, and these are the things, these are the real world experiences that they've had that have succeeded, and these are the areas where they've had to try something different. Erna has been a great supporter with us so far, and we're looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, very excited. It's turning out to be a very well-rounded, rich conference this year. The Global Humanitarian Technology Conference 2013, October 20th through the 23rd, in San Jose, California. And of course, I want to remind listeners that they can find more information on this conference by the link at our website at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Now, Keith, before we get out of here, what have we missed? What have I neglected to point out about this conference that you want to be? And before you answer, I want you to think about that for just a minute and come back after the second half hour and tell us all about it. Also, Bill Wattenberg is going to stop by and explain to us about dropping food supplies to the hungry in isolated areas in a safe manner, maybe even during war zones or something like that. So we'll be right back. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Yes. So Winston Churchill, the pessimist, sees difficulty in every opportunity. Well, the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty.